I speak to you in the name of God, blessed Trinity, and lover of your souls. Amen. A loud crash came from the kitchen, the sound of broken pottery crashing to the floor. I jumped off the living room couch to find my favorite mug in pieces. I don't know what happened, my housemate said, wide-eyed, staring at the linoleum with a dish towel draped over her shoulder. I reached down to touch the shards of green and blue and began to cry. What's going on in here? My friend wondered aloud as he happened upon the scene. My mug broke, I sniffled. And I feel ridiculous. I don't know what I'm crying about. It's just a mug. It's not just a mug, my friend said. It was your mug and it held your memories. Some material things hold meaning. Tell me about it. So I told him that a mentor of mine had given me that mug years ago. She and I had this unusual tradition of sitting on her kitchen floor, leaning our backs against the cabinets and drinking tea and talking for hours. Losing that mug felt like losing my connection to one of the people who taught me what it means to be a priest. He looked at me with compassion and said, "A familiar object can bring a person who is gone right back with you. You didn't just lose a mug. You lost a conduit to your mentor today. If that were my mug, I'd be crying too." We call them tchotchkes, trinkets, baubles, knickknacks, souvenirs, keepsakes, mementos, charms. These are the words we use to describe those small, seemingly insignificant objects that mean something to just one person in the world, you. Some objects connect us as individuals to our people, to our past. They inspire us with strength and hope for the future. In today's Old Testament reading, we read a story about a prophet whose story ends a bit like mine. He's left crying after the loss of his mentor. Elijah and Elisha were a powerful prophetic team. Elijah was Elisha's mentor. The two traveled for years together, standing up against false prophets and unjust rulers, speaking God's truth to power. But today, Elijah will leave this world. And as the two friends walk to the location Elijah's earthly existence will end, the mentor turns to his mentee and asks, "Is there anything I can do for you before I go?" "Just one thing," Elisha tells him. "Leave me behind a good tchotchke. Give me something to remember you, something that holds a double portion of your spirit." So that's what Elijah does. Elijah's story ends like a trans queen exiting a pride parade. A chariot of fire whirls him off to heaven. And as he flies away, a piece of cloth falls from the chariot to the feet of Elisha. Elisha picks up the cloth, and it's Elijah's mantle, the one that Elijah wore when they faced off the kings in palaces together. The mantle that endured through the evil forces of this world that hate God. The mantle of righteousness. And with that mantle, Elisha is empowered to follow in the footsteps of his mentor, to continue to move the needle of his day toward justice. Have you ever picked up a mantle like that? An object that to you is not just a trinket, but a reminder. Not just a charm, but a conjurer of a person and their power to inspire you. There's this red and white handkerchief in the coat closet that falls out every single time I go grab a winter scarf. My grandma Helen would wear it around her neck. I remember her pulling the knot with each hand. She called it her physical therapy. I've never worn this handkerchief, but I keep it around, stuffed in baskets throughout the years, for no other reason than the off chance that it might fall down on me from time to time. Grandma Helen's chariot of fire swooped her up to God years ago. But when I see that handkerchief, when I smell it, when I hold it in my hands, I remember her. Upstairs in my office, there's this bright silver rosary on the bookshelf inside a tarnished silver box with the word Roma on it. My Grandma Gloria was deeply proud of her Italian identity. She's so Italian, her maiden name, Smargiassi, it sounds kind of like a noodle. Her rosary reminds me not just of my grandmother, but of my cultural history, of a part of my identity that she gave me, something that makes me who I am. See, a mantle is not just a bauble. It's a memento that reminds you of who you are, of who you want to be, of who you could be at your best. It's like a knick-knack of the faith. Today is Pride Sunday, the annual day at Trinity Cathedral, when we pass on the mantles of those who have come before us in the pursuit of LGBTQ justice. The last few years we've celebrated Pride Sunday on the last weekend in June because it marks the anniversary of the riots at Stonewall Inn. Now, in 1999, President Clinton made the Stonewall Inn a National Historic Landmark. Landmarks can function like mugs or mantles do. They mark our connection to the past and remind us of significant moments in our collective history. Stonewall Inn is an LGBTQ tchotchke of the faith, a totem to remind us that on the evening of June 27, 1969, New York police raided the gay bar Stonewall Inn in Greenwich Village, which was not unusual. Police raids of homosexual bars were common in New York and other American cities in the 60s. This time, however, the bar patrons didn't endure the standard humiliation. They fought back. Their response initiated a riot that lasted into the night. Now, the Stonewall riots are typically viewed as this spark of gay liberation, a turning point in the history of gay life in the U.S., commemorated in gay pride parades around the globe. Historian Mark Stein quoted an activist who claimed no event in history, with perhaps the exception of the French Revolution, deserves more than the Stonewall riots to be considered a watershed. Stonewall Inn connects LGBTQ persons to our collective story, the collective memory of our nation. On the anniversary of the riots, we wave rainbow objects at each other and parade around to remember our past, to remember that we still have each other, and to incite one another to shape and reshape our shared future. This is the month that LGBTQ persons pick up the fallen mantles of mentors past, collect those cracked pieces of tea mugs of LGBTQ justice that have fallen, glue them back together. Not just to remember where we've been, but to take pride in who we've become. And as Christians, we do this work, following in the footsteps of our mentor and savior, Jesus, who teaches us to stand up for the least of the least and to walk in the way of God's love. So today we remember the Elijahs of our past, the mentors and leaders of the LGBTQ rights movement, like that unnamed lesbian who was hit over the head at Stonewall Inn as she was forced into a police van, the one who incited the riot, shouting to onlookers to stand up for unjust treatment now. Today we remember the places gays have gathered before we were ever allowed to gather in churches like this one. We remember the first documented U.S. gay rights organization, the Society for Human Rights, founded in 1924 by Henry Gerber. We remember the Mattachine Society, created in 1950, represented at Stonewall, who after it continued the fight for gay rights. We remember America's first lesbian rights organization, the Daughters of Bilitis, formed in San Francisco in 1955. We remember the Gay Liberation Front and the Gay Activists Alliance, who organized after Stonewall and inspired people here in Cleveland to organize too. GEAR, Gay Education, Awareness, and Resource Foundation, is the oldest LGBTQ organization in Cleveland, and it was formed right here across the street at Cleveland State University in 1974. The group published Ohio's first gay newspaper, High Gear, and I learned this morning that one of our own congregation members, Dan McGuire, used to do admin for that paper. It's GEAR that eventually became the LGBTQ Community Center of Greater Cleveland, which still exists and Trinity still partners with today. So today we hold our mantles, our mugs, our trinkets of the faith close to our hearts and remember those who showed us the way of Jesus, what God's love, truth, and justice looks like for LGBTQ people. And at Trinity, we celebrate Pride at a Eucharist because of that weekly story we share with one another as Christians, reminding each other of the meaning of objects of remembrance, especially the ones that God has given us. Jesus gave the church his body and blood and bread and wine, not just to bring his real presence right into the room with us, which it does, but to infuse us with himself, to inspire us with bravery like Elijah's, like Elisha's, that perhaps we too might ask for a double portion of the Spirit of Christ, that we can speak truth to power and bring God's love, truth, and justice to our nation in our day. Let it be so. Amen.